song I'm about to sing is one that's very pertinent for today. When the disciples walked the earth with Jesus, or when Jesus walked the earth with them, and Jesus is still walking the earth today, folks. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we don't recognize and we don't open our eyes to that fact. But the disciples made some mistakes along the way. This song talks about one of them when they were in the midst of a storm. But the message for us is found down in the verse 3 and 4, and you'll hear it when we get there. But the title of the song is Keep Your Eyes on Jesus.
Keep your eyes
years. I don't know how long you supported them, but when I saw the board, I saw that you support Bobby and Joanna Burdett and ourselves, and so that's just really neat to see how God has used you and your faithfulness to the mission. I want to thank the gentlemen that were just up here. I was ministered to not only through your song, but through your presence up here. You would not believe the amount of churches I go into where I see, let's call you guys our senior saints. And you hear these guys that will straight up tell you, yeah, my time is over. It's time for someone else. And you just want to look at them and shake them and say, are you in heaven? I mean, I don't believe our time is ever over to allow God to use us. And so I just thank you guys. I thank you for your ministry of music. But like I said, even your just presence here up in front of us, because that is a much needed thing. So thank you guys. I'm going to admit from the beginning that this sermon is not a typical missionary sermon, but this is something that the Lord laid on my heart and would not let me move into anything else. So I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, and while you're flipping there, I'll just let you know that my family sends their greetings. The family has grown since the last time we were here. I mentioned in Sunday school we have 5 little regrets now. Our youngest is 2, and that's Christian. We have Logan 5, Jordan 10, Alyssa 12, and Hannah's 14. And so I look at Hannah, Alyssa, and Jordan, my older ones, and I think, wow, I'm getting old. And then I look at my 5-year-old, my 2-year-old, and I think, oh man, how in the world am I doing this? We hit the reset button. But we do thank you for your partnership with us. Like I said, I wanted to share with you just a little bit as we get going about this ministry, Live Global, and our partnership. I'm actually have in February went to the Dominican Republic, and Lord willing, in 2 more weeks we'll be heading back down to the Dominican. We have an opportunity there that I'd like you to pray about. Pray for wisdom. It is a very non-traditional, we'll call it, opportunity where there are Haitian pastors in the Dominican all throughout these batays is what they're called, throughout the sugarcane fields. These guys were literally kind of established as a pastor of this church, maybe for no other reason than that they were the most popular guy in the town, or maybe that they were the only one willing to do it. And some of these guys have preached through the little book that the missionary left them, and they're literally now preaching from the dream that they dreamt the night before. It just terrifies me to think that that is the food, as it were, the spiritual food that's being offered for those churches. But they know what they're doing, and they are actually raising their hand saying, will you come train us? We want to be able to preach God's word better. And as we were talking to the one contact, I asked him, so how many people are we looking at? And he said, hey, if you want 10, I'll have 10. If you want 50, I'll have 50 pastors here. It's just a really amazing opportunity. So Lord willing, I'll be heading back down in a couple weeks, lining up some dates and some figuring out the best way to approach this ministry. But we're really excited about the opportunity, and we'd love for you to pray with us about this trip, especially with still managing the pandemic and the virus. So I'd appreciate that. Real-life childhood fears that will make you laugh. Mannequins. My 3-year-old is terrified of mannequins. When he sees one in a store, he repeats over and over, it's not real, I'm not scared. Automatic flushing toilets. My daughter was scared of toilets that automatically flushed until she was 5. She used to cry every time she needed to use a public restroom because she just knew the toilet was going to surprise her. The happy birthday song. My son was terrified anytime he heard the happy birthday song. We couldn't sing at his birthday for several years. He used to suggest we sing cartoon theme songs instead. Zuzu pets. I don't even know what these are. It says, remember the Zuzu pets? They were these electronic hamsters that people went berserk for. Well, my oldest daughter would just short pass out from one of fear if one was near her. It didn't even have to be on. She was petrified of the toy. Balloons. When my son was 18 months old, he picked out a happy face foil balloon as a treat. When he went to bed that night, I put the balloon in his room so he wouldn't worry about where it was when he woke up. Suddenly, in the middle of the night, I heard a scream of terror, ran in to find him bolt upright, eyes wide as plates. The fan had blown his now partly deflated balloon next to his pillow, where it leered at him with a weird, distorted smile. my kids were afraid of dolls. I found out this one day when I brought up a doll from the basement, and my son asked in a worried voice, "Mommy, how does that doll keep getting back up here?" Losing teeth, my daughter received a tooth fairy box from her grandmother when she was 4 years old, which made her terrified that she was going to lose her teeth. She brushed multiple times a day, cried during the whole process. It lasted about 6 months. She's 22 now, and she has great oral hygiene. Napkins. My daughter was afraid of napkins. If someone put one next to her, she would immediately run away from the table. Fears are real. Fears are a part of our life. During this pandemic, I think we've all been faced with fear. We've been faced with the unknown. We've been faced with a world stopping in motion like I've never seen before. You hear it that it's so politicized and you don't really know what to believe with this virus. You hear that some people just don't believe it's real, but then you have, like I did, I lost a supporting pastor to the virus. The virus is real. The virus is worldwide. The virus is causing wreaking havoc around the world. What do we as Christians do? How do we respond? What are the proper steps for us moving forward? How do we trust God but take a virus seriously? In Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse number 25, I'd like to take a look at what Jesus did to his disciples. Warring with the worry wart. Warring with the worry wart. Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse number 25. Therefore I say to you, and this is Jesus speaking, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? 26. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much more better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit, one tiny measurement to your stature? 28. And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Therefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Verse 33, you probably could quote it. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. Lord, I ask that you would empty me of me. We don't need to hear from Jason, we need to hear from you. I pray that you would use these words to speak to our hearts, speak to my heart, as we wrestle with moving forward in faith, but also understanding that it is an unknown, unprecedented times. Lord, we want to focus on you during this time, and we pray that you would change us more into your image. We'll give you all the praise and honor for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So the context here is obviously on this Sermon on the Mount. Jesus exhorted his disciples to lay up treasure in heaven. And it's not laying up treasure by working hard and gaining the gold and the silver like you would sometimes think, but rather by helping other people, by prioritizing other people ahead of ourselves. That's the context of this. He also talks about keeping your eye good. Guard what you allow to influence your inner man. He's already addressed this before we got to our passage here. He also talks about making God your master, and you will not be able to serve another master, the reference to mammon and the love of money. But if we do what Jesus says, what about our future here on earth? We can't just neglect everything that is happening around us. I can't just trust that, well, God, you feed the birds, so you're going to feed my family, so I can go do whatever I want. Obviously, there's a balance in it, and there are things that we must take care of in our day-to-day life. So how do we prioritize heaven, look forward to heaven, but also acknowledge that there are things we have to do in our day-to-day lives here, specifically speaking with the pandemic? Well, the first thing that we see that Jesus says here is he says, don't worry, look around. Don't worry, look around. In verses 25 and in verses 31, Jesus tells us not to worry. He says, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? I'm just going to be completely honest. I'm glad that we all woke up this morning and decided to get dressed. There are parts of our lives where we have to take care of ourselves. But what Jesus is saying here is if we sit around and worry about what we're going to do tomorrow or the next day or the day after that, then we are not going to be usable by him for the day. So what do we do about this? Well, the actual word that he uses here, worry, is actually in the original Greek means distracted. Distracted. You have to understand that when Jesus bought us with the price that was paid on Calvary, you are now his. And as we try to give him all of who we are from day to day, he's telling us, do not be distracted, focus on me. Is he not worthy of that? Of course, we would all say, amen, yes, he's worthy of that. Don't be distracted. Don't let anxiety about food and clothing distract you from a more important thing in life. You remember well the story of Mary and Martha. What was Martha doing compared to Mary? Martha was preparing the food, preparing the house, getting everything well to receive Jesus, the guest, well. She was focused on the things that needed to be done. Do not miss that what Martha was doing was not some abstract thing or some odd thing that had never been done before. In the culture, that was very important for it to be done. And when Jesus condemned Martha for her actions when she was getting onto Mary worshiping, I don't think Jesus was saying that, Martha, you should not be taking care of the day-to-day things. But rather, don't get onto Mary that Mary is putting me first. You catch that? I'm telling you, don't worry about the things that are going to happen, but rather focus on Jesus in the midst of it. Jesus tells us we should not worry. Four different things and examples that he gives here. In verse 25, he says, look at your life. Look at your life. Therefore, I say to you, take no thought for your life. If you were to wake up this morning and you were to know, let's say that God, and I don't believe he does this, but let's say that God, when you woke up this morning, told you at 2:30 in the afternoon today, you were going to die. And you were to go about your day, would you do things different? I think naturally we would. But would it change the fact that at 2:30 you were going to die? No. And I think that's the point that Jesus is making here. We all know that death is coming. We all know that there are things we need to do for our families, feeding, clothing, taking care of the day-to-day. These are things we need to do, but you're not going to change any of that by worrying about it. By being distracted is what the Greek is actually here. This is actually an argument from the greater to the lesser. He's arguing that life and body are certainly more important than clothing and food. He's going to do that a lot in these passages. The comparison here. And what we need to make sure we catch here is what the differences are. Jesus is saying that your life and body are more important to him than the food and the clothing. And you and I, a lot of times, we will be so worried about the food and the clothing, trying to eat well, trying to figure out where we're going for lunch. Some of you aren't even hearing me now, right? You're already thinking about that roast that's in the oven. Man, I'm going to enjoy this meal, right? We think about these things and we worry about what that next step's going to be. And in the meantime, we're not taking care of ourselves. We're not prioritizing Jesus in our lives. And Jesus is That's the difference. Your life and body is a whole lot more important than the clothing and the food, and yet when I look at you, Jesus says, I see that you've got it mixed. You're worrying about these little things that you need to take care of. Make sure that you focus on your life and your sustenance in me. Life and body are certainly more important than food and clothing. Who provides our lives and our bodies? God. God. So you think it's important for us to spend time with Him? Like Mary was in the example I just shared. Look at your life, He says. The next verse, He says, look at the birds. Look at the birds. Behold the fowls of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? How many of you are avid hunters? Do we have some hunters in the room? Sure we do. Wow, less than I thought. My dad is an avid hunter. He just, if he could hunt all year, he would do it. I'm convinced he would. I tried hunting a little bit with him. I figured out that getting out of bed was just the hard part of that process. If I could stay in bed and hunt, I probably could have enjoyed hunting a little bit better. But to say that, I want to point out this. My dad loves nature. A lot of hunters, or a lot of portrayal of hunters, is that they love the blood and the guts and the killing. I don't see that in my dad, and I don't see that in most hunters that I know. My family's full of them. When I see a hunter, I see somebody that enjoys nature, enjoys being out in nature, enjoys the experience of the quiet woods, the gamemanship that is involved in this process. And it's not a matter of, you know, oh, well, I've got another rack on my wall. It was, hey, let me tell you the story of this. And let me tell you how I did it and the interaction that I had. There was one day, I'm going to tell myself now, how many of you guys on Sunday mornings, you know, they're not that easy to get your family up, get your family out of the house and on to church. Sunday mornings are really difficult for our family. Probably something to do with five kids, I don't know. But anyway, my parents were visiting with us one weekend. This has been about a month or so ago. And I was pretty stressed with that process, getting everybody out of the house. And, you know, you don't have to know, you can't wear those clothes. You know what I'm talking about. So we walked outside of the house, and this bird, like, flies in front of me. And I'm like, what? I'm trying to get to the car, and this bird's flying in front of me. You know, like, it was that moment where everything's annoying you because you've had that kind of morning. My dad is walking behind me. He walks up to me and he says, did you see that? That was a beautiful mockingbird. He landed over in that bush over there. I think he's building a nest. Come here. And I'm like, oh, wow. Yeah, let me see this, you know? But that's who my dad is. He loves to stop and pay attention to nature. He doesn't get quite as stressed and worked up as I am. I wish I had more of those genes in me. That's just not how God made me. But he also knows, and they're probably connected, he also knows how to stop and smell the roses, as it were. Or in this case, the birds. The birds are a beautiful example of God's ability to provide. How in the world does a bird know how to build that nest? We have our natural gas tank behind our house, and you know, you've got the little lid that opens up under it, and I looked one morning and I saw, and there was like some leaves that had gotten hung in there, and so I lifted it up and I said, oh, these leaves, let me grab them, pull them out. About 2 days later, my kid said, Dad, look, the leaves are back. I'm telling you, 2 days later, I opened that lid back up, and there's now this beautiful nest with this little tunnel going down inside of there, and the bird had laid eggs inside there. Who taught that bird how to do that? God is telling us right here, I made it. And I take pride in taking care of them. But he says, I don't take as much pride in them as I take in you. Are you not more worth more than those birds? He said, I love these birds. Have you stop and look at some of these birds? The national bird, or the state bird, the cardinal. What a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful bird. The reds that are in it when the sun hits it. Do you know that your God stopped and took time to think about what shades of red that he was going to put in that bird? He did it. He's the one that chose that the male was going to be the beautiful red, and the woman, the female, is going to be the gray with a little bit of red in it. Like, he decided, I want this feather right here and this here. He did that. In his pride, in his care of this bird, he decided to create this bird in this way. And Jesus looks at these disciples and says, would you stop being distracted? Pay attention to these birds and what I've done to take care of these birds. They don't have to plant seeds. They don't have to grow crops. They don't have to do any of these things. I feed them. And I love feeding them. And by the way, disciples, you're worth more than those birds to me. I don't know who needs to hear this, but I want you to hear me well. God is not caught off guard by a global pandemic of a coronavirus. I'm not saying that we should be ignoring this and be doing whatever we want. I think we should take our precautions. But I do want to say that if you or if I, and I'm just as guilty, please, I'm not innocent in this. But if you are worrying or, in the literal Greek, being distracted, prioritizing a virus over who God is, God says you're missing the point. Through his providential workings in nature, God provides for their needs. And then he looks at us and says that we are certainly more valuable to God than those birds. Look at your life. Look at the birds. Next, look at your size. Verse number 27, which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? I'm going to tell this story because they're not here. So if you see my daughters, don't tell them I told you this story. They're teenagers. Got teenagers in here, right? We go through these teenage years and all of a sudden we forget who we are, right? We're trying to find ourselves. I'm telling you what, I was a youth pastor for many years. And I affectionately call those teenagers monsters, man. They just have no idea who they are, and from one moment to the next, you just don't know what's going to come out of their mouths. They are struggling, trying to figure out who they are. I'm not a kid anymore. I don't want to play with those toys anymore. But mom tells me I can't sit around and participate with the adults anymore. What am I supposed to do, right? It's a struggle that you see happening with them. And then my oldest is built a little bit different than my second. My second daughter comes up to me one time and said, Dad, why do I look like this? And why does she look like that? And I looked at her, and I took it right from here, and I said, Alyssa, because God carefully thought it out and said, I want Alyssa just like this. Because God looks at you and says, I am more worried about the heart that is inside this person than what they look like on the outside. And he even looks at you and I now and says, which of you by taking thought, again, this concept of being distracted, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? I want to be as tall as so-and-so, and so I'm going to think really hard about it, and then I'm going to be as tall as them. No, it's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. God said, I want you like this. I want you to be this tall and to have this many hairs on your head and to be this kind of personality. Look at your size. There are many things in this life which we cannot affect by worrying or being distracted. For example, worrying will not make our bodies grow any taller. Worrying about food and clothing cannot guarantee that you will have them tomorrow. Look at your life, look at the birds, look at the size, and then the fourth one is look at the lilies. Look at the lilies. Verse number 28, and why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. You have to understand, for a Jew, they looked at Solomon as the one that had it all. Because he basically did. And Jesus looks at them and says, I want you to know that as much as y'all admire Solomon, Solomon had nothing compared to that flower that I made right there. The careful thought and consideration I gave to array that flower and to make that flower bloom. I think it was peonies. I'm not a flower guy, but I'm pretty sure it was peonies. And you ladies will probably correct me later, and that's fine. I remember one day I had this rental house. This was years ago, and there was a flower that was growing, and I'm pretty sure it was a peony. And this flower comes up, and it was encased in this green. There was ants all over this flower. All over this flower. And I looked at that flower and I thought, oh man, the poor flower. So guess what I did? I started killing the ants and knocking them off. Told my grandmother that story a couple of days later. I said, Grandma, this flower, the ants keep coming up onto this flower. I don't know what's wrong with the flower, but I keep knocking them off. They come right back on. And she said, well, Jason, that's how God made it. Don't you dare knock those ants off. Those ants are helping that flower to open back up, to lose that casing. It's all involved in the process of how God made it. Now whenever I see that flower, is it a peony, ladies? You guys were agreeing with. Now when I see a peony, I can't help but stop and look at that flower and say, God, you're amazing. You're amazing. Who in the world stops and thinks, I'm going to create this flower and this is how it's going to work? We all know the job that bees do for these flowers. And it was a God, a careful creator, who stopped and created these flowers, and then he looks at you and he looks at me and he says, you're more important than these flowers. Yes, I gave careful consideration to these flowers. I made them how they are, and I'm very proud of how I made them. But you, my friend, are more important to me than this flowers. God is able to clothe the grass of the field and to make such beautiful flowers. Is he not able and willing to do so for you and I? You who are created in the image of God. You who are designed to spend eternity with God. I was in the Dominican, I mentioned earlier, and there's a Haitian guy that he's learned English really well, and he's just a really good contact for us as we are getting to know this ministry opportunity. And one morning, I shared this in my prayer letter, you probably remember, but one morning he gets into the truck with us, and he was just kind of quiet into himself, but I didn't really give a lot of thought to it. And we spent the day together, and the next morning, I was walking up to him. If you know me well, I love to just joke. If I haven't joked and given you a hard time, it's because I haven't got to you yet. Be patient. It's coming. But the next morning, I was carrying on with this guy, Ishmael, and I was just, you know, ragging him, just having fun. And he looked at me and he said, you're different. I just laughed and said, yeah, that's just how God made me, you know. I said, I'm Jason. I don't have to be anybody else. I'm Jason. He said, no, I mean you're different in a good way. He said, can I talk to you? He pulls me to the side and he says, Jason, he said, I don't know if you noticed or not, but he said, yesterday I got into the truck and I was quiet. He said, because the night before, I felt like God and Satan were wrestling in my mind. He said, and so when I went to bed, I told God, God, if you are really here, if you are really interested in me, like you say you are, I want you to speak to me in my dream tonight. He said, I woke up the next morning, and God didn't speak to me in my dream. I was furious. He said, I was furious with God. He said, if you guys had not already scheduled for me to come with you, I would not have come. I was mad. He said, I got into the truck, I sat down beside you. He said, I had my phone out, and I didn't even have anything to do, but I was pretending like I was playing on my phone just so I wouldn't have to talk to you guys. He said, but all of a sudden, I heard you talking about somebody you know. And to be completely honest, guys, this was a negative story. This is a story of somebody that I was frustrated with, okay? So this is just how God works. He said, I heard you talking about this guy you know, and he said, and I heard in your voice the frustration that this person could know God's word and not have a good relationship with God. He said, you were talking about this person, and he said, I heard compassion in your voice, that this person could know so much about God's word and not have a good relationship. He said, in that moment, it was like the Holy Spirit gripped my heart and said, would you listen to him? He's not talking to those other missionaries. He's talking to you. He said, I stopped and I listened to your story. And all of a sudden, he said, I realized, God's not going to come to me and talk to me in a dream. I've got God's word in heaven. He said, I could not wait till the day was done that I wanted to race home and open up God's word. He said, Jason, I did that last night, and I nailed it down. Jason, I nailed it down. And I said, so what are you telling me? Are you telling me that you put your faith and trust in Jesus? He said, that's exactly what I'm saying. He said, I told God that I'm tired of playing games with him, that I'm going to put my faith in what he did on the cross, and in that alone, he said, I nailed it down, Jason, I nailed it down. Here I was complaining about a friend that I know. And God used that moment to speak to this young man's heart. My friends, I am convinced. I am convinced that we are not going to change anything by complaining, by being distracted. The only thing that we can do is to turn our eyes on Jesus. Look at verses 32 and 33 real quickly. He says, for after these things do the Gentiles seek, and when he speaks of the Gentiles, he's speaking of the world. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things, but seek ye first. Don't seek second. Don't seek third. Don't seek when you have time. No, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do you see this promise, my friends? This promise that if we will, number one, look around and see what God is already doing, but number two, look up and seek him first and the kingdom of God first, the promise is that all the things that we are distracted by will already be taken care of for us by our Heavenly Father. Why? Because we are more valuable than the birds, than the lilies, then all these things that we get distracted by. We must make the will of God the number one priority in our lives. Today is enough trouble with which to concern yourself. Oh, but you don't understand. I got a test tomorrow. I got this tomorrow. I got that tomorrow. Worry about today. It's amazing. I've come to this amazing conclusion as I get older. This is really profound. Are y'all ready for this? I don't know if you're going to be ready for this or not. That serving God is really one step at a time. It's not this big, profound moment where you say, I surrender all, God. I'm ready before everybody. I surrender all. And then the rest of your life, you just spend your life worshiping God and loving God and everything's good. No. In this one moment, I've got to make a decision that I'm going to serve God right here, right now. When I take a moment and I want to think about a pandemic and the virus and the things that are happening around me, I've got to turn my mind to Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm taking a step closer to you. When I'm going to get distracted about the financial struggles, how I'm going to pay this bill, what I'm going to do, how I'm going to do it, I've got to make a decision to turn that out and say, God, I'm going to take this moment and this decision to step closer to you. Don't worry about tomorrow. He says, don't worry. Look around. And then number two, don't worry. Look up. Look up. The motto of many is, don't worry, be happy. But Jesus kind of qualifies that motto and says, don't worry. Seek me first, and you'll be happy. Don't worry. Seek me first, and you'll be happy. My friends, it is no wonder that people are not interested in the things of God in this day and age, where they look around and they see Christians just as fretting just as much as anybody else. Guys, we have so much hope that we should not look like the world when our struggles are coming. We should be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within us, but people are not going to ask us about the hope that is within us if we're not showing that hope. My friends, don't worry. Seek Him first, and everything will take care of itself. Every evening I turn worries over to God. He's the one that's going to be up all night anyway. Mary C. Bell. Let's pray. Father God, I love you. Lord, these words speak louder to me than anything. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here today that number one does not know you, that they will do like Ishmael, that they will kneel that down. That they will realize that they cannot handle the things of this life without you. But secondly, Lord, I pray that if there are Christians here that are allowing the worries, the distractions of this life to keep us from trusting you, that we will begin in these moments right here and right now to make decisions, small decisions, to turn and to trust you. We do pray for wisdom with this pandemic. We do pray for wisdom in knowing how to be a light and salt in a world that is just very difficult right now. But Lord, we don't have to worry, and we do not have to be distracted, because God, you are in control. And so we pray now that you are.